Hello, everyone, and welcome to Time with Pastor Otabel, our interactive discussion program that brings scripture perspective to the biggest issues of our lives. My name is Kwejam Mwasari Jr., welcoming you on behalf of Dr. and Mrs. Otabel. Last week, we looked at the subject of choices and habits, but extensively we stayed focused on choices. Today, we will swing the pendulum and look at habits. And helping us leading the discussion, as always, is my joy and pleasure to welcome Dr. Otabel. Doc, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
And to my colleague pastors, Pastor Eric Emeku. Pastor Eric, you have been missed.
Thank you very much. I'm here now.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And to Pastor Priscilla Nana Nketia. Pastor Priscilla, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I can see fruitfulness telling on you already.
Amen.
God is good. Dr. Tabel, as we aspire to be fruitful this year in every area of our lives, can you please share with us the habits that we need to build so that we'll have a lifestyle that is reflective of fruitfulness?
Every individual will have to determine the important things that they want to achieve, and then the habits that are needed for them to achieve what they want to achieve. There will not be one single habit that does it all for us. It's going to be several things coming together. But it's important to have a habit for studying the Word of God, a prayer habit, and then we have to have a habit to focus and to be consistent with what we do. These and several other habits would be useful for every individual as they attempt to do something fruitful for this year.
Is it important for one to examine the habits that he has cultivated over the years and see which ones have been helpful and which other ones haven't been helpful?
Yes and no. I mean, there are habits that are positive, that help us, and then there are habits that we ourselves can judge to be negative because they don't help us to become the people we want to be. So if you have a habit, for example, of procrastination, where you never seem to get anything done, you're always thinking about doing it tomorrow never comes, then, I mean, achieving a goal is going to be very, very difficult. So if you find yourself, after self-examination, you realize that, I keep postponing things, then maybe this time you work at giving yourself timelines and specific deadlines. So instead of saying, I'm going to do this, you can say, I will do this by this time, and put a time to it so that you can work towards an objective. But everybody has to look at habits that have helped them. And if they've helped you, you do more of it. If they haven't helped you, then you start pulling down on them.
Looking at habits that are not very helpful, the Apostle Paul lamented in Romans chapter 7 about habitually doing things he didn't want to do and vice versa. Can you shed some light on the human tendency to do things in particular ways?
Well, the statement by the Apostle Paul was talking not simply about himself, but the human condition of where we don't want to sin and we keep sinning. But it's the unregenerate man, the man who does not have the Holy Spirit in him, who finds himself or herself unable to do the things they want to do. But he said, thanks be to God later, who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. And the summary of it is that when Christ comes into our lives, we have the capacity to do the good we want to do. But in the context of your question of habits that are negative and we find difficult to change, as somebody, a six-year-old, defined a habit as something that you're doing, you want to stop it, but you can't. And that's simply a habit. It's a routine in your life. And sometimes you are aware of it, sometimes you're not aware of it. And sometimes it's a third parties or people outside of you who can look at you and say, this is how you behave under these circumstances, and show you the pattern of it so that you can be aware of it. Many of us are not aware of our habits. It is said that about 90% of all the things we do are based on our habits. And that's a very scary thought, that about 90% of the things we do them without being aware of why we do them. And so taking time to really understand your habits is so critical to making the important adjustments that helps all of us to do what we hope to achieve in our lives.
It seems easier developing the habits than breaking it.
I'm not sure whether it's easier, because good habits are difficult to develop. I mean, if you want to have a habit, change your eating pattern, for example, it's very difficult. You want to start exercising, it's very difficult. You want to even start a prayer habit, it's very difficult, or Bible study habits. So there is a sense in which habits are easy. And the reason they are easy is because most of our habits, we form them when we're very young. And we're not even aware we are forming them, but we repeatedly did something over and over and over and over and over, and then it got stuck with us. And we weren't even aware we were forming a habit, but it became part of it. Sometimes it's something you see your parents do that you imitate, as all children do, and then they become habits in you. Many times people will call it a transference of spirit and think it's spiritual. But it's not really spiritual, it's habitual. It's because you see something over and over and over, and you do it repeatedly, that it becomes part of your life, and then the consequences come, and changing them becomes very difficult.
Right. So, Doc, how important is our circumstances of our childhood and our environment in habit formation, like you just mentioned?
Yeah, most of the habits we have in life, I mean, there are different kinds of habits. There are physical habits we have, and then there are mental habits we have. You know, the physical habits are not that bad. I mean, it's how a person eats, and some people make a lot of noise when they are eating. I mean, it irritates people, but it's really not going to affect the outcome of your life in a very severe way. Habits about how you walk. When I was a kid, you know, there was a boy in our school who was very popular, and he had a way of walking that seemed like he was limping on one foot, and and it seemed almost like every kid That's wanted to walk that way, imitating that walking habit. I mean, it's not a good habit, but it's not really going to stop you from achieving your objectives in life. So those habits are there, and all of us have it, the way we use our hands, the way we talk, the way we gesture, and all of that. But then there are habits that are more attitudinal. They affect our attitude and how we respond to situations. So there are people who would recoil every time they feel they face a challenge, and it becomes almost like a habit. There are people who talk back and answer harshly every time somebody makes an approach at them, and it becomes a very destructive habit that has to be dealt with. And then we have habits like procrastination and all of that. Our childhood formation plays a major role in our habits, habit formation. I mean, by the time you are probably about 8 years old, you form the bulk of your habits in life. And so, in a sense, you've really determined the outcome of your life very early by some of those habits. You have to grow into adulthood and be conscious of them to consciously change them. Otherwise, they rule your life without you even being aware that they are ruling your life.
So what about environment? Because when you grew up in a hostile environment where...
Yes, it's all part of it. When you go to a circus and you see the elephants in the circus, we don't have them in Ghana, but we might have watched them in movies. And these elephants are sometimes led by somebody holding a very tiny rope. And the elephant never breaks away from the tiny rope. And when you look at the elephant, it's big enough to break free from the thing holding it, but it never breaks free. And the reason is because when an elephant is very young, a baby elephant, it is chained with metal to a post. A very cruel method, but it is. They chain the foot of the elephant, or they chain the elephant with metal to a place. And a baby elephant will struggle, try to break free, and realize it can't break free because it's a chain. And after some time, after a couple of years, it stays in that position where it's never able to break free. Something registers in the mind of the baby elephant that it cannot be free. And when you are tied, you can't be free. Once they get to that point of settlement where they don't struggle against the chain again, they replace the chain with the flimsiest of ropes. And the elephant will never break free because the mind has accepted the chain or the limitation. So it's no longer now a physical limitation, it's a mental limitation. And the most destructive habits are not the physical things you do, they are the things that have conditioned your mind to think and act in very predictable ways, so much so that your life repeats a cycle constantly. And so you can see a cycle of failure repeating itself constantly. People will say things like, when I'm in a relationship, the relationship is going on, I don't know what happens, and then it breaks, and then the lady leaves or the man leaves, and it happens over and over. You can easily spiritualize it, but I can tell you it's habits. It's something you're doing predictably that you're not even aware of that is producing those outcomes. So habits are very, very powerful in determining the outcomes of our lives.
It is something that you are doing predictably that you are not even aware of. Habits are so powerful. We will take a break. And when we return from the break, Dr. Otabel will be leading us to discuss habit formation. This has been Time with Dr. Otabel. If you just join us, please call a friend to call a friend to be part of this broadcast. Welcome from the break, discussion program that gives us the opportunity to tap into Dr. Otabel's 40 years of experience and 40 years of research. Please stay tuned. You will be blessed. Dr. Otabel, what are the habit centers of one's life?
I mean, habits cover all areas of our life, I suppose. I'm not a psychologist. But I think they affect all areas of our lives. They affect our relationships. They affect our finances. They affect our spiritual life. As a Christian, I would say that the center of habit formation has to be spiritual. So your spiritual habits are very important. No matter the habits you might have carried from childhood, if we start with proper spiritual habit formation, then Christ will be manifested in our lives in such a way that what was destructive in our past starts falling away without we even consciously trying to break them. Because when Christ is formed in us, And when his mind becomes our mind, when his actions become our actions, when we endeavor to act as he acts without even thinking of breaking bad habits, that by itself breaks bad habits. The Bible calls it the renewal of mind, because as we are renewed in mind, we are conformed to the image of Christ, and he becomes the actor in our lives. And just by that, you break a lot of bad habits out of your life.
So I get the impression that association is crucial in the formation of one's habits.
Yes, association is crucial. Our physical associations are important. But I also believe our spiritual associations are critical. And by spiritual association, I'm talking about our Christian, our relationship with the Holy Spirit is important. But even the association we form with other Christians, and if they're all committed Christians, all committed to living a godly life, just by being in that environment, new habits can start forming in your life. My observation is when you intentionally want to form a habit, it's very difficult. But when you form it unconsciously, it almost happens without you being aware of it. And even being in church, being within a community of believers, each one praying, each one sincere about their faith, each one really wanted to live for the Lord. Just that atmosphere can create a very reinforcing space for you to build very good habits.
On a personal note, how does your daily routine ensure your personal productivity?
I think one thing I do, I'm not sure whether everybody does it, is asking myself a lot of questions. I call it my thinking moment. I like to think. And so I spend quite a lot of time intentionally thinking through issues. And I think through issues by asking myself a lot of questions and challenging my own thoughts and my own positions. So I don't just say that because this is what I have known, that is what it's supposed to be. I try to look at what I even feel comfortable with from different points of view, trying to look at it from the point of view of people who don't agree with me, and try to work through all the questions that I think people would ask me or people are thinking of. And in the process, I try to find a way of understanding the world that is richer than how I've understood it before. So if there's anything that I think is different, probably from me, would be my thinking processes and my thinking habit.
So this is a quiet moment?
It's a quiet, it happens almost all the time. It happens, I mean, I do that before I go to bed. I spend a few minutes thinking. When I get up, I've spent time thinking. And in the daytime, I'm trying to solve one problem or the other from...
It's become
a part of me. I do it without even being aware of it. But I catch myself doing it, that I'm always asking myself a question and trying to figure out the answer.
Doc, can you kindly walk us through some couple of biblical characters and the impact of their habits on the outcome of their lives?
Well, we start with Jesus. Jesus had a habit of prayer. And the scriptures refer to it and gives us some indication that he had a habit of prayer. But I don't think it was probably an unusual habit, because it was tied to the Jewish habit of prayer. Because when God gave the laws to the children of Israel, he tied the laws to repeated action. So if you look at the laws, there are things they did over and over and over and over and over again. The prayer times were set, so people would pray at certain times over and over. So when you do these things over and over, they become part of you. Instead of just saying, do it as you want, that puts too much pressure on you. So Jesus had that. Jesus had a habit of going to the synagogue, and listening to people teach, and he also asking questions. Because the first active place we find Jesus is he's asking questions. He goes to the temple at the age of 12 and he's asking questions. And it's part of his routine of inquiry, of asking questions, of challenging ideas of the people who were even older than him. And you find that among the disciples of Jesus, the Apostle Paul as well picked up those habits. The most fascinating for me was Daniel, who had a habit of prayer. And Daniel's habit of prayer was in Babylon. And when people wanted to get Daniel, they used his habits to get him. Because they said, well, we know Daniel, that no matter what the decree is, he can't stop the habit of prayer. And of course, he had the decree that he couldn't pray within a certain time and the consequences. But the habit was so ingrained in him that he prayed and he got arrested. So and that's the power of habit, where even when you feel that something is threatening you, you still do it. And it can work negatively and positively. And that's why people with certain bad habits know that it's destroying their lives, destroying their marriages, but they do it. And Daniel is a clear example of the power of habits and how it can determine the outcome of your life.
No, scripture says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, that as a man thinketh, so is he. How important is one's mental outlook reflective on his ability to be productive?
As a man thinketh in his heart,
so is he.
Not just as he thinks, but as he thinks in his heart. Thinking in your heart is the subconscious space a person finds themselves in. Because you can think, I am rich. You're not going to be rich simply because you think I am rich, or you think and say I will break through, and then you break through. I mean, it has to be a deeper thinking, thinking in his heart, thinking at the core of his being. So is he. And yes, you can cultivate that habit, and I believe that the biblical principle of meditation is get us to think in our hearts, not think in our head, but think in our hearts. And as we meditate on the Word of God doesn't just become information in our head, it becomes the presence of God deep within us, and out of which we act, out of which we subconsciously, without thinking about it, do things. And as a person thinks in his heart, so is he.
Doc, I've realized that your daily routine, which you made mention of a couple of minutes ago, is reflective in your style of presentation. Because in your preaching, you ask a lot of questions and you answer the questions in your preaching.
Yes. And when people talk to me, I ask them a lot of questions. So most times people don't like being in my presence because I'm going to ask you questions that may destabilize you. But that's how I treat myself. Okay. I'm constantly asking questions and trying to probe. And find answers.
Thank you.
And sometimes you say, you've got to think. Now I understand. But Doc, you spoke about our relationship with the Holy Spirit and then fellowship with other believers. I want us to look at hanging out with the ungodly or with mockers, according to Psalm 1, verse 1. What is the correlation, our relationships and the ability to bear fruitfulness?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge because your associations reinforce your habits. They can introduce them and reinforce them. If you are in the midst of people who are drunkards, drink a lot of alcohol, it makes drinking alcohol easier for you because you don't have any sensor. You don't have anything censoring your actions. So Associations are important. No wonder the first psalm begins by telling us whom we shouldn't associate with, whom we shouldn't walk with, whom we shouldn't sit with, whom we shouldn't stand with. And then it tells us the outcome if we do that. And all the things that it talks about has to do with association. Walking in the path, standing and seating. All of it has to do with association. So, if people take their own lives and destinies seriously, they have to take whom they associate with very, very seriously, because they can make you form bad habits. I mean, I have talked to people, and a wife would say, you know, my husband was a very good man. He was so and so until he started moving with this crowd. And then the problem starts, because almost all the wrong things in our life happen within the context of associations. In the same way, all the good things in our lives happen in the context of association. The kind of people you associate with will reinforce the right or wrong habits in your life.
We open up.
Yes. I mean, if you're in school and your best friends are all very studious, even if you're the most unstudious student, pretty soon your grades will start going up, because they're going to pull you to the classroom. They're going to pull you to study. But if you're hanging out with other people who have no value for that, and some because their families are very rich, even if they fail an exam, money will cushion them, yeah. And you have no money to cushion, you go and associate with them, you're asking for a lot of trouble. So associations are very, very critical in habit formation and reinforcing the habit. Reinforcing the habit.
That's Eric.
All right. So, Doug, does the Holy Spirit influence our decisions of building positive habits?
I believe so. I think the Holy Spirit is our guide. Jesus said that he's our comforter and he's our guide. And he leads us and he shows us things. And I believe that when we cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit and depend on him, he will also show us whom to associate with, whom not to associate with. And there are certain companies that you get to. It's not that the Holy Spirit will say they are witches or wizards. It will just be that there's a discomfort you feel within you, and you just feel when you are there that your spirit is defiled, and you feel that your spirit is, I mean, something is wrong in that atmosphere, and you don't need to be there. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you to the right kind of association.
That means that we as believers must be sensitive to where we go and the reactions that we receive in our hearts.
Yeah, the spiritual reactions we receive in places we go to.
Yeah.
They help us to determine where we associate.
Associations are important. It reinforces our habits. We will take a short break. We will be back in a jiffy. Welcome from the break. It has been an insightful discussion so far. Please call a friend to tune in. It will be beneficial. There are numbers scrolling on your screen. Please send your questions. Dr. Otabel will be delighted to answer your questions. If you are watching us on Facebook, tell us where you are watching us from, what God is doing in your life, and how beneficial time with Otabel has been to you and your entire family. Dr. Otabel, what is the seat of habit formation? Is it with the soul, the body, or the spirit?
I would say, somebody has said that you watch your thoughts because they become your words. You watch your words because they become your actions. You watch your actions because they become your habits. You watch your habits, they become your character. You watch your character because it becomes your destiny. Wow. So if we track it back, then we can say thoughts would be it. And then the routine, the things we do over and over and over and over again. So those, I would say, your thoughts and your actions would be the seat of your habits.
Right. Now, on the issue of habit association, introducing us to habits and reinforcing it, I get the impression that the easiest way to form good habits is to find a good company and align yourself with them.
Yes, that's why sometimes support groups are very good. We need good support groups and good support systems when we are starting something new. It's like people who want to lose weight. They join a Keep Fit Club or get a walking partner, a jogging partner, a cycling partner. And before long, you find yourself reinforcing your effort. If you do it alone, you can do it. But when you are with people who are doing the same thing, it encourages you to do it well, for better and for worse. If you are in the presence of people who are doing the wrong thing, it also makes you do it more.
Thank you.
Look, many people blame the devil for their enslavement to a bad habit. What really is the balance between our own appetites and the role of the spiritual?
The devil is a tempter. That's his job. So the devil's job is not to hold you, but to put you in prison by yourself. And so many times he tempts, he misleads, he misdirects. So just as the Holy Spirit leads us in the right path, the devil also leads us in the wrong path. So does he play a role? Yes, he does, in the misleading, in the temptation, in the misdirection. But he doesn't hold us against our will. He doesn't have the power to. But he will lead you to a place like the elephant we talked about, where you imprison yourself and have a certain mental reference that keeps you in bondage for a very long time. And you can break it by the same process also, by mentally listening to the Holy Spirit and developing a new direction that he gives you.
So if you're going to accept that temptation, it's your choice.
Oh, yes. The temptation doesn't force itself. I'm yet to find any temptation that forces itself on us. The temptation makes something appealing. It makes something attractive. It makes something look good, like the first temptation that Satan tempted Eve with. He says that the fruit looked to be good, something that will make you wise when you eat it. And then the devil didn't take it and put it in her mouth. She had to take the action. So he only is a tempter. And he leaves you to take the action, and you are responsible for the action after you take it.
I ask this because in Christendom, you hear this a lot. Oh, it's the devil.
It's the devil in terms of he
initiating,
tempting you and directing you. But the continuous control of the habit is not the devil. It's you. It's your will.
Somebody listening to us and he wants to break away from a habit, which is bad, what are the steps the person needs to take to be able to walk out of that?
Different habits require different processes to break free from. Because some habits, unfortunately, create other complications, like a chemical dependency. So, for example, somebody who is an alcoholic, he's gone beyond habit. You know, when you become alcoholic, it's no longer habit. Because if it's a habit, you can break it. But it's now a chemical dependency because the alcohol has reconfigured your body and the chemicals on your body in a certain way that without it, your body doesn't function well. So for most people who become alcoholics, they need more than willpower. And that's why there are rehabilitation centers. detoxification centers where you can be detoxed. The same goes to people with drugs. It's not a habit again. A habit brought them there, but now it's become a chemical dependency. And so they need a little bit more than just willpower to break out of it. So I want us to look at those habits that are more complicated, alcohol, drugs, and others. But it is generally said that if you, I don't know how well it works for everybody, but if you do something repeatedly for 21 days, you are reinforcing it to become a habit in your life. So depending on what habit it is that you are forming, one of the first things you want to do is to be able to do it repeatedly for more than 21 days. It doesn't mean after that it's set. No, it now becomes an integral part of your life. And it's easier now to do it consequently. But if you stop it at any point, you will regress to the old system.
Okay. But, Doc, what's the role of the Holy Spirit in breaking habits?
I believe the Holy Spirit can lead us to the places where we can get help to be free. And the Holy Spirit can make the Word of God alive in us, that Christ is formed in us. And in He being formed in us, we have liberty. There are extreme cases where a person may need a deliverance through the agency of the Holy Spirit from a mind control that determines some things that they do. So you have to check the person and not rush into conclusion that this person needs deliverance. And by the way, every deliverance is deliverance. Yes. If deliverance is freedom, if reading the Bible makes me free, that's my source of deliverance. If associating with people will help me to break my habits, that's the source of deliverance. Is if somebody lay hands on me and speaking the power of Satan to be broken over my mind, that is also deliverance. So we have to always look at the end product, not just the process. But I would say that for a person who is a believer, cultivating a deeper walk with God and through the Holy Spirit would probably be the greatest deliverance you can ever give yourself.
Doc, how do we identify, cultivate, and maintain good choices that will influence us being able to plant, to harvest, and also to build in 2021?
It all depends on the person and what they want to do. I mean, if somebody wants to be wealthy, for example, then they have to develop habits that produce wealth or promote wealth. Yeah. First of which is proper stewardship of what God has given to them. If you believe that your wealth is from God or what you have is from God, then you have to be a good steward, which includes giving back to God. It also includes saving, learning how to develop a savings culture. And managing your expenditure and not buying impulsively. And so if you have a habit of buying things impulsively, then you have to deal with that. So it depends on what the person wants to achieve, that they have to then have different habits that they have to work on. And not only for this year, for the rest of their lives, they have to have those habits.
Doc, Francis has a question, and I think the question is something that you touched on briefly,
okay,
the issue of deliverance, and I think it will be helpful. He says, Pastor Otterville, I need help. For the past 5 years, I have been addicted to marijuana. I'm a born-again, spirit-filled believer and a worship leader. Sometimes when I'm crossing the street, I feel like walking towards an oncoming car. and embracing it. I have cried, fasted, and prayed, and still struggling. How can I be set free from this bad habit? I hate it.
Yeah, it's a very painful situation to be caught in something like that. And the last part, I think, is very poignant. That I hate it, but I'm still doing it. And so once you find yourself in that position, then it means that something is happening to you that is beyond yourself. It's no longer your willpower. And I know of people who have been set free from alcoholism almost instantaneously. I have experienced that in the life of people that I have ministered to. And then I've also had people I have prayed to who continue drinking. No matter how much we prayed, they continued drinking. And then later on, became free through a rehabilitation process. So I am an advocate for both. That you can pray and instantaneously a person can be delivered from an addiction. But if they don't, let's help them in other ways. So particularly for this person,
Francis,
I suppose, I mean, he says he's spirit-filled, he's born again, he's even a worship leader, and he's addicted. The first thing he has to do is to look at the inconsistency of his life. And if I was advising him, I would say, stop being a worship leader. You are sick. You need help. So don't act as if you are okay. Even if nobody notices it and nobody finds out that you have this addiction, you know it and you know you are inconsistent. And the part of what is making him feel the way he's feeling is the hypocrisy. He feels rotten inside because he feels like he's a hypocrite. So he has to stop that line. Be a Christian, but don't be a worship leader. Because when you're a worship leader, you are standing there supposedly offering yourself as somebody who is ministering under the power of the Holy Spirit, which unfortunately would not be his situation, and a different kind of power. So he has to stop that. From the way he describes it, it may seem as if he has gotten to the chemical dependency situation. And he needs to go through a proper detox program, very well guided by somebody who knows what they are doing. And there are a couple of places in the country that help people with these kinds of addictions. They go through a whole system to be free, and he has to submit himself to that. But I know people who go through that and sometimes go back, you know. And so once you've been addicted, it's a lifetime thing. It's almost like an alcoholic. An alcoholic can never be cured. They can be set free where they are not drinking. But if they take one drop of alcohol, it revives everything back in their bloodstream. And they are back to where they came from. So the sense that I need to be on my guard should be something that he lives with all the days of his life, for as long as he lives. Because even if he's been helped, if he goes back, the addiction would take on. And then it's worse than the previous state.
When you are sick, take a break and ask for assistance. This has been Time with Pastor Otabel. All too soon, we have almost come to the end of another insightful session. Thank you so much, Dr. Otabel, for enriching our lives. God richly bless you, viewers. We appreciate your time and your commitment to this program. And to my colleague pastors, Pastor Eric, thank you so much for your contribution. Pastor Priscilla, thank you so much for your contribution. Dr. Otabel, For the millions of people watching you today, what would be your concluding thoughts? And will you care to share a word of prayer for people who are suffering from all kinds of addictions?
Well, we ended the discussion on habits with addiction, which is a totally different area of discussion that will require a lot more than just the pastor telling you what to do, because it also has a medical side to it. But for everybody who just wants to form good habits and wants to be able to achieve their objectives in life, wants to build a house, want their marriages to work, want to lose a little weight, want to be healthier, whatever the habits are that is needed, I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you and direct you to the place where you receive the maximum reinforcement for those habits to become entrenched in your life. And for anyone who is under any kind of habit that has become a bondage and a foothold of Satan in your life, I pray deliverance for you in the name of Jesus. And I speak life to you. The power of God sets you free in Jesus' name. Satan's control over your life is broken in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit of God sets you free. Whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Walk in the freedom of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.